Hello and welcome to the special edition Radio City Music Hall in-depth report. With me is my good friend Cameron Albert Deitch. And I am Alex. He went with me to the show last night. And it was just an amazing show.
It was astounding. Hi everybody, I'm Cameron.
Yes. So Cameron, what did you think of this show?
I thought it was absolutely amazing. I gotta say, my favorite part was definitely the readings. J.K. Rowling's was definitely just the top of everything. And I really enjoyed the depth that she put into the characters. You know, it's more than you just read. It's from the author's perspective, and it was really interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting just to see how, when J.K. Rowling wrote it, how she meant it to be read.
How she was thinking, yeah.
Yeah. Because everyone reads it differently, and you see how when she wrote it, she meant for it to be read. What do you think of Whoopi Goldberg pronouncing her name wrong?
I really don't think it was that big a deal. I mean, it's a lot of people pronounce people's names wrong. Believe me, my name gets pronounced wrong a lot.
Yeah. I'm sure it does. I've heard it a lot. But the thing is, that when you're introducing big celebrities, you should probably take the time to learn their names. Just a little piece of advice that I'd do if I was going to introduce some big person. I'd learn how to pronounce their name properly and make sure that I have everything.
When is possible that she didn't know she was pronouncing it wrong?
No. I know that
somebody should have probably told her, but
mm-hmm.
It's done. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So, as I said last night, Joe read from Order of the Phoenix. No, I keep saying Order of Phoenix. Half-Blood Prince. Where
Dumbledore takes Harry back through the Pensieve to go back to where the younger Dumbledore picked up Tom Riddle from the orphanage.
Yeah. And that's just the place, like, when Dumbledore and the person who runs the orphanage, when they're just talking, that's really where she put a lot of just feeling behind it, and that's where I really liked it. And then there were some great questions.
The questions were awesome. They were really interesting, and the answers we got were really awesome. Gave away some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Like, some stuff that was previously obviously unknown.
Yeah. And at the end, when people were upset that she wasn't telling people what she was, because she said that she'd changed the title for book 7.
She said that she had a title that she really liked, and then just while she was coming to Radio City Music Hall, she decided that she wanted to change it. And so she said, you know, I have two different titles for the book I'm trying to decide between. And she wouldn't tell us either one.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, because she says, I've already told you guys a lot of important stuff. Which she did.
She did. There was a ton of amazing stuff. First off, other than Harry, Jo would most want to bring Hagrid into the real world. Hagrid is her favorite character and the one that she would most like to bring to life. There's also the shocking update that there's more to Aunt Petunia that meets the eye, and we'll find out what's unique about her in Book 7. We also should not expect Dumbledore to pull Gandalf. He is dead. He is really dead. She apologized to DumbledoreIsNotDead.com for ruining the purpose of the site, but, quote, everybody needs to move through the 5 stages of grief. We all need to get past his death, la-da-da-da-da, he's dead. Completely.
As I always thought.
Also, I thought it was never in doubt at all. Jo's future after Harry Potter includes taking a long break from writing. She wants to, you know, grieve for Harry, take a break from her. She plans to, after a couple years, release a currently half-written young children's book shorter than any Potter novel. Another update. The librarians in Harry Potter, if you've been wondering about Madame Pince, all have to be evil or unhelpful or that sort of stuff, because then the students would have nice librarians to help them find all the information they need, and Hermione wouldn't have to do any work. What fun would that be? And the most incredible update of them all, author Salman Rushdie came up with a son to ask, after a detailed theory, if Snape is good or bad. Joe replied that your opinion is correct. Snape is good.
Yeah, which I was very unsure about that.
I knew the whole time. And our last update from the night that we were at was that when Joe was listing the characters who she invites to dinner and answers the question, she names the trio Harry, Hermione, and Ron, and then pauses. She says, "I'm the only one who knows who lives through the series," accidentally implying that she could only list characters who can make it through the book. So she said, "You know, I wish I could invite Dumbledore, but he's dead," which implies that the three first ones will live. Whoopi Goldberg, again, as the first knight, kicked off the whole night with the overall introduction. Tim Robbins introduced Stephen King. Stanley Tucci introduced John Irving. And Kathy Bates introduced J.K. Rowling. All three of the writers did read the same passages that they read last night.
Thank you to MuggleNet for writing down what they did. I wrote it down, but I lost my sheets.
Let me give you a hint. Alex is really unorganized.
I am not.
You are too.
It's just, I was trying to pack everything this morning. I left them.
Yeah.
I just love the performance. I thought, one thing I was unsure about, because this was my first time, going to an event with Joe. I have seen videos of her, but the one question most people asked me were, could you understand her?
And definitely we could. Her accent, it's definitely, there's Scottish accents there, but it's really light. It's more like a British accent with a slight Scottish tinge.
Yeah.
Definitely no problem.
Apparently her husband
has a very strong Scottish brogue.
Yes. When the event was over, there was just, I think everyone left. I did not know one person who did not leave there feeling good. And it was amazing how long. I got home about, I'd say 30 minutes after the thing was over. And I went on DumbledoresNotDead.com, and they already had something up. So either someone got access right around the corner to it and quickly posted a huge story on it, or they called someone as soon as they announced it. Someone called DumbledoresNotDead.com and told them.
You never know. They could just have someone there. It could be could be anything.
Yeah, but I just thought it was...
What exactly did they post?
They post a whole thing saying we were, J.K. Rowling talked about us.
So it was all about how, oh, J.K. Rowling mentioned us, we're famous now, and nothing about how Dumbledore really is dead?
No, there is.
Oh.
Just saying that J.K. Rowling said that Dumbledore is dead.
So basically, it was about how J.K. Rowling mentioned us, we're all famous, Whoopi, and by the way, our set has no purpose anymore.
Yeah.
Cool, got it.
Which, I would not be very happy if that happened to my site. But here is the thing. Cameron, you want to read it?
Sure. Urgent update. J.K. Rowling mentions DumbledoreIsNotDead.com. At the second night of her reading in New York City, J.K. Rowling answered questions from fans, and when asked about Dumbledore, she said, I know there's an entire site out there called DumbledoreIsNotDead.com, and I'm sorry, they're not going to like this answer. You should not expect Dumbledore to pull Gandalf. I need to be more explicit. Dumbledore is definitely dead. But what does that mean to us here at DumbledoreIsNotDead.com? Do we really think that J.K. would give us real clues about a topic that is so obviously important to the climax of Book 7? Isn't it possible that this is just another of those red herrings that J.K. is so famous for to throw us off track? What J.K. has said in public does not change what she has written in her books. The clues on these pages fit together like pieces in a puzzle. It's a picture you cannot make out unless you step back a ways. It's to you. It's up to you. Step back and take a look at the big picture and decide for yourself how these clues fit into the Harry Potter puzzle. Posted by Dave Haber, August 2nd, 2006. Okay. Personally, I think they're loonies.
Yes, because when she's said that Dumbledore is dead, and when has J.K. Rowling in an interview lied about it? I've just never seen that, and I don't think J.K. Rowling is the kind of person, because she has said you'll find more about this in Book 7.
She definitely mentioned some very interesting twists and turns that are going to happen. We don't know what they are, but she said that they're beyond anyone's imagination.
Yeah, and any theories that she's ever read.
Any theory that she's ever read, heard, anything.
Yes. So, I think that people at Dumbledore's Not Dead just need to give up the site. And maybe put it just... Make it into a website of a history of Dumbledore's life.
Yeah, maybe they can make it a Dumbledore is Dead website. That'd be funny. But personally, me being a huge Harry Potter fan for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
Personally, I'm a huge fan of the books, and I've read them over and over and over again. You know, big fan of all the theories, and have a lot of my own. Dumbledore's Dead.
Yeah.
They say it all fits together like pieces in a puzzle in their update. Yes, it does fit like pieces in a puzzle. Dumbledore is dead. They have all sorts of evidence it's completely false.
No, the evidence is not false. But their quote is, "I will never have truly left Hogwarts when none here are loyal to me." That's what it says at the top. And as we said in a previous podcast...
My interpretation of that is that...
His spirit will never leave.
His spirit and his memory.
Yeah. We're sorry, people. DumbledoreIsNotDead.com.
He's dead.
Yeah. J.K. Rowling would not lie to us like this. Send us your comments if you think he really isn't. J.K. Rowling's lying to us. But that also means that you might think that Snape is still bad, because that's another thing she said, that Snape is good. Which didn't surprise me, but I didn't know it. I was just going to wait.
There's also been a very vivid discussion, very violent discussion here, that J.K. Rowling did not answer. It's, we know that two major characters, are going to die. Who will it be?
I think that it'll be Pettigrew, because Pettigrew owes Harry his life. Maybe Snape.
It's definitely set that one of the people who's going to die is going to be somebody saving Harry's life in the process. I personally think it's Snape, because I think that Snape has had noble death, heroic death, written all over him since the beginning of the series.
Just am not sure what to think of it. But I personally think it's going to be Pettigrew, and also either Neville or Ginny.
I think it's either going to be Snape or Pettigrew as the first person. I personally think Snape. Some other think Pettigrew. It's just my personal opinion that it's Snape. It can go either way. I think Snape has had heroic death written all over him since the start of the series. The second person is probably going to be Neville or Ginny. Neville Ginny is always vulnerable because she's Harry's girlfriend. It's a very dangerous place to be, and she knows that. It was in the end of the sixth book, Harry and Ginny had a discussion on this. And Ginny said, you know, whatever danger I'm in, I want to stay with you.
Yeah. And I think that if Ginny does not die, her and Harry are going to get a relationship.
If she doesn't die, they'll definitely be together at the end.
And also, J.K. Rowling, in the first night of New York, said that what Hermione would see in the mirror of Erised would be Harry, Ron, and Hermione all alive at the end of the books, but also she would be
closely entwined with another person in the view, which leads us to believe that Hermione and Ron are definitely meant for each other.
Of course, that's how I think, because she's been spending so much time leading up to
They've been having perfect lovers' quarrels ever since the beginning of book six, that she wouldn't just drop off. They're definitely meant for each other.
Book three.
Yeah, good point. They're definitely made for each other. There's no question.
Yeah, the thing is, but then everyone knows it's Ron, so why don't you just say it's Ron?
Yeah,
maybe it's just she felt that she'd given away so much stuff already.
Maybe. Anyway, back to who's gonna die. We talked about Ginny. The other option for the second person is Neville. Even if Neville does not die, Neville will play a huge part in book seven, because Neville is always the failure, the underdog, the person who's never made an impact on anything. Neville's going to come out big. Maybe Voldemort will try to tempt him over to the dark side, you know, with the promise that he'll bring back his parents to get to Harry. But there's nothing that can be done for Neville's parents, and Neville is going to realize it, and Neville will play a huge part. Neville will play a lot bigger part than he has before. He'll be a major character this time.
Yeah, that's what I think. But with Neville being a major part, I think he'll have to give up some of his... We've always seen, like, just being cowardly. I think he's going to have to give some of that up.
He's definitely going to come out as a changed person, a braver person, someone more confident in his abilities.
Yes.
If he doesn't die, of course.
Yes.
And even if he does die before he dies, he'll definitely be a changed person, and it's definitely changed for the better.
Well, Karen, this has been very good talking to you about this. Is there anything else you want to talk about? The event?
There's one other thing, yes. What do you think about the last Horcrux? I personally think the last Horcrux is either Harry or his scar.
I do not think it has anything to do with Harry. I think that it is something in Hogwarts. If it's the trophy that has Tom Riddle's name on it, I think that's a possible Horcrux.
How would he get to it? It's impossible for him to get to Hogwarts. I personally think...
No, you have to think. He asked Slughorn while he was still at school.
But he didn't kill someone while he was at school.
No, but he
came... That wouldn't have been his first Horcrux.
But, no, okay, it could have been one of his. And who knows? Yes, actually, he did kill someone while he was still at school. He killed one of the kids from the orphanage in the cave. He could have done that.
No, he didn't kill anyone. He just addled their brains.
But he killed one of them, I believe.
I don't think it says that. I think that the last Horcrux is definitely at least his scar. He unwittingly created it.
No.
When he tried to kill Harry.
Because what J.K. Rowling has been implying the whole time is that making a Horcrux is incredibly complex.
It is magic. Incredibly complex, but there was incredibly complex magic that occurred.
Yes, there was.
How else would... What else would explain love? That was what was supposed to have protected Harry, right? That's an incredibly complex magic. It could have screwed a lot of things up.
No, it's just very old magic. It's not complex. J.K. Rowling made it seem like that making a Horcrux is this huge thing. It's incredibly hard to do.
A lot of weird stuff transpired that night. I would not be surprised. In fact, I completely expect Last Work X to be Harry's scar.
Huh. Yeah.
At least Harry's scar.
I do not... yeah, and I think it's something in Hogwarts. And also, where do you think the last battle's gonna happen?
At Hogwarts.
Yes, that's what I think.
Definitely at Hogwarts. There were some theories last night at the reading about how Hogwarts might be the last Horcrux. I honestly don't think so.
No.
There's greater magic protecting Hogwarts than that.
Of course, another thing that was asked, I forget if it was at the Leaky Mug podcast or at the event was, now that Dumbledore is dead, are any enchantments he put on school? If his spell broke on Harry.
Yeah, when we went to the live Leaky Mug podcast at Barnes & Noble before the reading, one of the people asked a question on if Dumbledore's enchantment on Harry, making him, you know, immobilized and taking his wand so he couldn't do anything, if that was taken away when Dumbledore died, would any of the enchantments on Hogwarts die? I don't think so, because there's always the thing that, you know, you're saying that all the enchantments on Hogwarts were created by Dumbledore.
Yeah.
No, they weren't.
What I'm saying.
They've been there since Hogwarts was created. They were created, the enchantments were put on it by the four founders, Gryffindor, Slytherin, Ravenclaw, and Hufflepuff.
Yeah, unless,
And the magic is just, the magic is so strong, it's impossible to bypass. Even though the four founders are dead, it's lived through, and it's not going to be destroyed for anything unless Hogwarts itself is destroyed.
Yeah, unless each headmaster has to redo all the spells put on, which I doubt.
I highly doubt it.
Because I do not think that every headmaster is as powerful as Dumbledore.
And even if, I highly doubt it, but even if that was true, even if that really happened,
McGonagall would have done them.
Well, even if that really would happen, yes, McGonagall would have done them by now. But I really think that the magic is just too strong to be overcome by something as simple as death. After all, Dumbledore himself quoted death as being the greatest journey of all.
Yeah. So I think we'll have to wrap it up now. Thanks, Cameron.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, just a few things. We are now on Skype. So Skype can be got at skype.com. And our Skype name...
S-K-Y-P-E.
Our Skype name is HP_detdetSo you can Skype us. With Skype, you can also, for free, call anywhere in the U.S. And they are working on getting everywhere in the world free. But for now, calling anywhere in the U.S. is free. All you need is a microphone.
Or a headset. You can call any phone number, any other Skype, any IM, any anything.
Yeah,
a little bit of free advertising here.
For calling anywhere else in the world, there is a small fee.
But it's the same as just long-distance phone calling.
Yeah.
If you have a fee for that.
I think it's actually cheaper. But most people...
It will be.
Most people have free long-distance on their cell phones now.
Yeah. Just a little free advertising for Skype here, because we think it's amazing. We think it's incredible.
Yeah, and just add us to your friends list, we're not sure how many requests we're gonna get, so just in the little thing where you fill out the thing for a friend's request, put it to be about HP Texas listener. And if you have trouble getting anything about Skype, you can just drop us an email at harry@hpatexas.com, and we'll be happy to help you.
Yep, Skype us at any time.
And normally, when we would be on, this doesn't mean we're going to do it all the time, but normally if you want to talk to us, you can get on Wednesday nights from 8 to 9 Eastern Time.
So, U.S. Eastern.
Yes, U.S. Eastern Time.
That's p.m., by the way. Don't call us in the morning.
No.
Little thing called school in the way.
That's when we will try to be on, but we probably will be on other times of the day because I have the Skype set up, so whenever I get on the computer, it has me on, so...
Whenever you see our Skype online, just give us a yell. Drop us a line.
Yeah, drop us a line. You can chat. If you don't have a microphone, you can chat with us.
Whatever you want. It's all good. Skype's and awesome.
If this works,
love you, Skype.
If this works out, we might be having a new segment that has to do with Skype. Well, let's see how it works. Starting Wednesday night at 8. Sounds like one of those TV shows.
Yep. All right. See you guys later. Hope you had fun in this podcast.
Yep.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
For a long time, now this mirror must go. It won't be here.